Good evening. Welcome to Ram Nation Radio, dedicated to full coverage of the Colorado State Rams here on AM 1550 KDCO, FM 94.1 Denver, FM 96.9 Boulder. This is Mile High Sports Radio. I am Mark Knutson. With me, the man behind the popular website ramnation.com, Mr. Joel Cantalamessa. How you doing, man?
Good, Mark.
You ready for tomorrow?
Oh, ready for tonight, ready for tomorrow. Yeah. A lot of good festivities going on tonight with the parade, fireworks, bonfire. Yeah, a lot of...
And don't forget, we got to be Fresno State fans tonight, too. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of cheering against other teams going on.
Scoreboard watching fans. Already this time of year. So before we get into talking about the game with Utah State tomorrow night, and my column on Mile High Sports today about CSU's remote bowl possibilities for New Year's, whatever. Let's first of all catch us up on what's going on with RamNation.com right now.
Well, after the big victory at Nevada, it kind of harkened me back to the days of Sonny when CSU back in the old WAC and in the early years of the Mountain West would roll through their conference schedule and didn't get pushed a lot. So back then, there wasn't a lot to complain about. So when there was a close victory or so-called ugly victory, the masses on Ram Nation message boards would kind of go and lose their minds a little bit and complain.
In a we won, but the way Bronco fans react.
So that same thing kind of happened. It reared its ugly head again on Saturday night. There were fans saying so much as, I'm not proud of this victory, not happy with this victory. The coaches shouldn't be happy with this victory. It was ugly. But, when you look at it, and I think Coach McElwain had the right perspective on it, and it's the perspective I share as well, is that, CSU at this point in their rebuilding exercise over the years, they're in no position to assume any victories, much less a road victory against a conference opponent.
A good conference
opponent. A very good conference opponent. And you don't let the end of that game let you forget that they actually dominated, completely controlled that game for three quarters. Defensively, they shut down a very good quarterback, kept him contained. They played good special teams, at least with the block punt, and they had the offense going. So they were good in all three phases for the most part, and they had a little bit of a letdown. They started rotating in some guys on defense, and once you were up 31-3 and Nevada got a quick score and then a DeHart fumble kind of gave them a little momentum and it started snowballing a little bit. But for the most part, CSU controlled that game and got a very huge victory.
I agree with what Coach McElwain said, but doesn't it give you a kind of a good feeling that the players didn't feel that way? The players were kind of like, we didn't finish this job. I mean, they didn't get giddy about that victory. Even after Elliott intercepts the pass and pretty much end the game, it was more a sense of relief, but it was like, we should never let it get to that point. I'm glad the players felt that way.
Well, it shows you the mentality and where this, how far this program has come, just in the last year. It's really very business-like mentality, and that you go on this business trip and you get the job done, and anything less than perfection is not good enough. So you really haven't seen that in past years, and it's the whole mentality and what is being instilled in these players.
Kelly Lyle last week talked about the last trip to Nevada. What was it? 51-7. They lost. And so what a difference this team is, how different this team is now to go into a hostile environment. We've seen lots of teams go in there and, the Boise States and the Cal Berkeleys go in there and get walloped. So it was a good thing to see CSU go in, as you said, win that game convincingly early, hold on at the end. What does it say about tomorrow's game? Do you feel more prepared to play a Utah State that shut CSU out last year in Logan, 13-0? Is this team that much better equipped to handle Utah State now? State's not dramatically different than they were a year ago.
No, but you look back at that loss, and that was a 13-0 shutout, and CSU doesn't get shut out very often, and it's especially hard to believe when you look at the team that CSU has offensively this year that, they were able to be. But you also got to factor in that it was blistering winds, if you remember that.
Yep.
And Utah State's defense was extremely, extremely good last year. You're also on the road. So this year, I think offensively, they've got more weapons. They've got a running game, a running attack that, as you saw against Nevada, that rushing attack really fed it. It opened up opportunities for the pass, and they had the play action going.
Old school offense, run the ball to set up the pass, old school.
Yep. And defensively, they're getting off the field on third downs, which was a real nemesis for them last year. They're able to get off the field on third downs, I think, as of last week, I think it was something like 50% of the time. They're so much better defensively, and that makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. They really are. And I don't know. We'll get to the prediction segment later on the program when Kyle Bell joins us. It's going to be dicey with Utah State. It's a good football team, even minus Chucky Keaton. Daryl Gerritsen, not the old referee Daryl Gerritsen, but Daryl Gerritsen has done a nice job filling in for Chucky Keaton, can do some things Chucky Keaton doesn't do, and he's going to be a handful. There's no question about it. It's going to be a very difficult game to win. That being said, if they win it, and that's where my column went today in Mile High Sports, the schedule gets a lot easier after this game. You're talking about teams, they shouldn't lose to any of the teams, remaining teams on their schedule after.
They'll probably be favored.
Yeah.
In the majority of those, at least.
And then, so then you got the coin flip Mountain West championship game, because there's nobody really on the other side of the Mountain West, and West Division that's playing lights out. Fresno's nowhere near what they were a year ago. You've got a legitimate chance to win the Mountain West Conference outright. And if you do that with one loss, you've got a legitimate chance to be the highest rated non-Power 5 conference team in the country, which puts you playing at New Year's Day in one of the big New Year's Day bowl games. That's kind of mind-boggling, isn't it?
Well, there's a lot of reasons to be down on college football and this whole restructuring and this autonomy stuff that's going on. But as you've pointed out, the one good thing that has come out of the last couple of years is this new automatic tie-in for a non-power.
You don't have to be undefeated like Boise had to be
undefeated. Don't have to be undefeated, exactly. They're going to take the top-rated team out of the non-power conferences, and you will get to play in one of those top games, which is the Peach Bowl,
the Fiesta Bowl, Cotton Bowl, or Orange Bowl.
So there's those chances, and you look at some of these projections now, and pretty much all the so-called experts have East Carolina, a couple of them have Marshall, but should they stumble, like you pointed out in your column,
both of them have to stumble,
and CSU has to run the table, and they also have to have Boise State lose.
Right.
So there's three teams that CSU fans are going to be trying to put the voodoo hex on for the rest of the year. And but if something like that happened, I mean, CSU is right there in the conversation, and it's probably they're the favorite if all three of those things happen.
And as I tried to point out in the column, this is what spurred this thought on my part. A lot of CU supporters have said in the last year or so that, CU's in such a better position, they're in the Power 5 conference, the gap between CU and CSU is going to widen, blah, blah, blah. And in a lot of aspects, that's true. Financially, certainly, that's true. But CSU's in a better chance to play on New Year's Day than CU does. Not just this year, but in the years to come, because CU's conference is so good. The Pac-12 is so good. It's going to be so hard to get in. You got to probably be in the top two of that conference to think about playing on New Year's Day, right? At least in the top two, if not number one. And what are your chances? Are your chances better of winning the Mountain West and being the highest rated non-Power 5 conference team or being in the top two of the powerful Pac-12? I like CSU's chances better.
CSU definitely has a clearer path to get there, much more manageable. You know, there's no hiding that the Mountain West is a little bit down, and it has been since the loss of TCU, Utah, BYU. Mm-hmm. But I think that will continue to build up. But
I agree.
You may not, over a consistency standpoint of years, be able to ever compete on the level of the Pac-12. You know, the Pac-12 had some very down years over the last 5 years, and the Mountain West was very clearly a better conference than the Pac-12 for a couple of years.
Wiped them out in bowl games.
But that, when you've got hundreds of millions of dollars coming in, just over time, they are just going to gradually have that advantage, and it's going to be tough.
Yeah, but every now and then when you find a Derek Carr at Fresno State, that team became a powerful football team last year because of one or two players. And you catch lightning in a bottle, this could be the year.
Well, here's what I mean, that's a nice pipe dream for fans, and it's not all that off the wall. It's achievable. It's a little bit.
A lot of things have to go right.
A lot of things got to go right. But there's also some very good scenarios for CSU, even if that doesn't shake out. I mean, I think that if you had Boise State lose, can you imagine hosting a Mountain West Championship game at Hugh Stadium?
I mean,
just to build on that. Yeah, because at this point, if CSU wins out, I mean, that's what they'll have to do to win the conference most likely, and Boise State would have to lose to win the division and host. But they would host because currently the West Division would have the lowest rated team. I mean, it's kind of a mess in the West. So that's an exciting standpoint. But there's also some good bowl possibilities. If Boise State, consider this, if Boise State won out and took CSU's spot in the conference championship game, but then the East Carolina and Marshall, one of those two teams took the spot. Mm-hmm. You know, if CSU could end up in the Las Vegas Bowl somehow. Mm-hmm. And they certainly could. If Boise State took one of the top bowl games, mm-hmm. then well, the Las Vegas Bowl would then take the next best, which would be CSU.
What are the other options? San Francisco is the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl?
No, they're not part of it. You've got...
it changes every year.
It does change. So they've got the New Mexico Bowl.
Yeah. We don't want to go back there. We did that.
Yeah, but
let's be picky.
But the poinsettia bowl. So the only problem is that, and you don't want to be picky because bowl games are few and far between for CSU. As soon as you take that for granted, then you'll go 6 years, 7 years, 8 years without a bowl game. But there's a New Mexico Bowl that mm-hmm. you know has right. tied into Conference USA this year, right. but Conference USA might not be able to fill all their slots. So then you could get a Pac-12 team. Same thing with the poinsettia bowl, who's tied in with Navy. If Navy doesn't win three of their last five games, they won't go to the poinsettia bowl, right. and maybe a Pac-12 team could fill in there. So there's a lot of scenarios where CSU could still play a marquee opponent in a bowl game.
A BYU,
I think, is tied into some Miami bowl or something.
Oh, really?
Like that.
I thought they were tied in on West Coast. No?
Not this year. Okay. They've got a funky deal.
Yeah, it changes every year. Yep. It's going to be fascinating down the stretch. And I think that was another point I tried to make in the column, that this time of year, in the past half dozen years, we haven't had any intrigue. At this point in the season, it's all been, okay, we'll see how well they can finish out. We have some legitimate intrigue now to college football in this market. I mean, even Air Force is a great story. CSU and Air Force still have to play. Air Force stumbled last week against the same Utah State Aggies, but they've already beaten Boise State and Navy back-to-back, which is quite an accomplishment for a team that only won, two games all of last season. So Air Force is a good story. CU's been much more competitive this year than they have been in previous years. Probably going to have a hard time winning any more games, but they've been a lot better football team. So there's some intrigue to the college football scene around here, and that's obviously what we're excited about and we hope we can build on.
Specifically with CSU, the fact that they are now in the others receiving votes category, I guess they received one vote after beating CU at the beginning of the year, so that was the first time since 2008 they've even been that. But they're about as close as they've been to being ranked. I think the last time CSU was ranked was preseason in 2003. Mm-hmm. So they're very close. I think it would still take a couple more victories because there's a lot of teams in front of them that
are unlikely to
lose. But just to be mentioned and start getting that recognition, and there's a buzz around town. There's a buzz around CSU alumni. They're supposed to be a near sellout crowd tomorrow. There's just a lot of excitement in the fact that Utah State's 4-2, CSU's 5-1, it's a chance to go 6-1. It's a good time to be a Ram fan.
I'm not a big fan of the night game. I don't like the facility anyway. We talked about that last week. We need a new stadium, but at night games, I don't know. I wish they were playing mid-afternoon. Beautiful time of year. Gorgeous day tomorrow.
And I know we're going to run up against the clock here, but CSU, I think there's a lot of younger alumni that are involved, right now because CSU basically wasn't very relevant until, the last 15, 20 years.
Right.
So the people that are interested are on the younger side. And now you're seeing those people run into their, kids sports. And I'm certainly in that camp. So I have a hard time.
The kids sports are supposed to be scheduled around the football game, not vice versa.
They got
this all backwards.
That would be
here.
Fantastic.
You
got to
play those in the morning and the evening and play the high school, the college football game in the middle of the afternoon. Come on. We got to get with it here. What's the priorities here? Let's go.
Well, I agree.
Let's fix that. Well, you're the guy that can fix it. Start something on your message board. It'll go viral. We'll be in good shape. How much time we got left on this one? 1 minute. All right. Well, before we go to break, let's give a tip of the cap to a couple of our sponsors. We have six of them on the program right now. We're very grateful to have all of them involved. Lionsgate Real Estate. You know something about that
outfit. That's my wife's. My wife's real estate company. She's great. Fantastic. Give her a call.
All right. And Window World, also a sponsor of the program. We appreciate them as well. They're supporting this program. When we come back, we'll be joined by Mike Brohard from the Loveland Reporter Herald, and he's out covering something tonight, but he's going to come and join in with us. So we're lucky to have Mike. We had Kelly Lau last week. These two are like frickin' frack. We got them all. They're together all the time. If you sit in the press box, they're making smart remarks back and forth. So we'll get the others. We had Frick last week. We'll have Frack this week. Stay with us. This is Ram Nation Radio. You're listening to Mile High Sports Radio. So what is wrong with analysis?